Another major concern with the spread of COVID-19 is the situation in the nation's prisons. With 2.3 million people imprisoned in the United States, prisons are overcrowded and often unsanitary. An outbreak in a prison would likely spread like wildfire. As the U.S. appears to be about 10 days behind Italy in the spread of the virus, it's important to look at what has happened there. Italian news agencies reported prison riots in 27 different Italian prisons across the country. 6 inmates were killed and prison staff were taken as hostages. The riots began as fears of contagion rose among an overcrowded prison system that's 20% above capacity. The inmates had also had their movements restricted and had been cut off from social visits. As of last week, the Federal Bureau of Prisons has suspended all social visits, legal visits, and transportation of inmates between institutions in the United States. The National Association of Defense Lawyers said that given the volume of incarcerated people in the U.S., the conditions under which they are detained, and the current spread of the COVID-19 coronavirus, there is every reason to question whether American detention facilities as a whole are up to this challenge. For more, I spoke with James Scott, an inmate on death row in San Quentin, California.
I'm speaking with James Scott at San Quentin Prison on death row. Can you talk about what is happening there in regards to the COVID-19 pandemic? Are they taking precautions? Are people able to have social distancing measures? What's happening at San Quentin?
I can only speak for my little block right here. You know, they're taking precautions here in these blocks. And, you know, yes, they are practicing social distancing, and you know, I mean, the medical is on the doing their job. The bottom line is, you know, I can't speak what's going on outside this particular block I'm in, like I say, you know, but where I'm at, they're being very professional about the health of the prison right now.
Well, what does that mean to do social distancing in a prison? Does it mean that you end up being in lockdown for a lot longer than you're used to?
No, it's not so many. What it is the fact that no one, I mean, normally, like, they'll have yards. You have seven different yards. And now it's only 40 people out there instead of opposed to maybe about 100. And then maybe it's not even 40 people going because everybody don't go out. So it's basically they're keeping us from any kind of pandemic occurring right here on the road. But now what's happening outside of here, I don't know.
Mm. Well, I know in Rikers, there was a prisoner that came down as positive in Rikers, and a lot of people, including Representative Hakeem Jeffries, have called for release of prisoners in order to avoid the pandemic spreading like wildfire in a prison, which is likely what would happen given the crowded conditions in many of the prisons. But you're saying that they're able to separate people there on death row?
Yes, yes, no doubt about that. They will, if anyone exhibits any type of cough, fever, so on and so forth, they will automatically remove them and take them to the adjustment center, you know, where it's a cell with a hard door and so on and so forth, where they'd be isolated for 14 days. And then they'll come back over here once they determine if they have COVID or just a regular cold or a flu or what have you.
Well, and I suppose if there was any prisoner release, you on death row would be the last in line to be released.
Of course. I doubt if we would be released. They'd probably spread us out then if they release a whole lot of people up out of these blocks. So, you know, you might have, instead of having 57 people on a tier, you might have 30 people on a tier. You know, so, yeah, I doubt they will allow that to take place. They have something like that in the Daily Journal that I was reading last night, where people have rallied and petitioned the governor, asking him to release people 60 years old and up out of this prison system that have, you know, chronic illnesses. Now, no doubt about that, there's a lot of people here who have health issues that are chronic, you know, chronic. And I do believe they should be released. You know, there's a lot of 70-year-olds, a lot of people in their late 60s whose health has really deteriorated right here on the road. So I can only imagine what it is out there on the main line. There's an ailing, elderly populace of prisoners who have been down 30, 40, 50 years.
Hmm. And
I forgot about
that. What are health conditions like normally at the prison? I understand past diseases that have gotten into the prisons have spread very quickly once they do get in.
Well, yes. You know, I mean, you didn't have, what's that, the norovirus? And so, I mean, you know, that's the pandemic. You know, I mean, norovirus, Legionnaire disease, all kinds of stuff is taking place right here in San Quentin in the last, what, 10 years? But what can you do? We're up under the ward, as they say, we're a ward of the state. So basically, you'll get an aspirin, and hopefully you'll get some real medication, but that likely won't happen until either you pass away or you recover.
Hmm.
That's the way it is.
And for people who think that those on death row are kind of the worst of the worst of the prison population, I wonder if you could just briefly say your experience and how you ended up on death row for a crime that you didn't actually commit at all.
Wow, that's a long story, Jim. You've been knowing me for over 25 years, and you know my struggle. It started out, I was arrested for a heinous crime. You know, against a young lady that I did not do. I was implicated by an individual who was a professional informant for the sheriff department. And I was drugged, given Miloril 650 milligrams three times a day. Then it was up to 750 milligrams three times a day until I ended up pleading guilty to a crime I don't remember pleading guilty to. I ended up in Chino Prison. And that's when I found out how much time I had. At that time, I had pled guilty to 42 years. And then they took me back down to the county jail almost 2 years later. And when I went down there, no one read me my rights. I ended up going back to the courthouse. And the same guy that represented me comes around, you know, sits down, and he's like, I'm representing you, you know, person in question died. They want you to testify against the individual, which they know he had something to deal with. The DA willing to offer me 15 years of life. I said, what, I'm going to take 15 years of life for something I didn't do. And I'm not going to get on the stand and lie on him like he did me. Well, no, to no avail, I ended up getting the death penalty. I mean, but it's a long story, and I'm going to write it out so individuals can hear what I'm having to say. But I'm just only one of a multitude from Southern California that experienced the atrocity.
This call and or telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
This judicial system, you know, and I ended up having a, it is hard. I mean, my heart is starting to pound right now, so forgive me, but we will have more on the story later, but
I hope when you put out those memoirs that we'll be able to talk about that and share that story with the KBOO listeners so people realize that not everyone on death row is these worst of the worst people that we're led to believe. Again, thank you.
What we are is a diversion. That's all it is. Let's keep it real. We are a diversion. Many of us haven't been out 20, 30, 30-something years, haven't even been on the streets, but yet we're always rehashed when it's time to put a panic in the streets. Look what's going on now. Look what's taking place. Look at this pandemic. Don't just look at the pandemic. Just look at the representatives that we have. They're out of touch. 70, 60-year-old individuals who don't know what you're going through, don't know what it's like to be hungry. Don't know what it's like to go to sleep at night with no lights on. So, you know, I mean, everybody has a story.
Mm.
Everybody has a story. And that's all I can say at this moment, because right now, you know, every time I talk about my story, you didn't see me digging. You sit in the visceral with me. You know how I get. And it's just, it's like I've been saying the same thing over and over and over and over again, and it's tedious. And it's like, it's falling on deaf ears. I thank you. I thank the listeners. I thank the people. Right now, I need to rally together and help each other. Help each other. That's all you can do right now. Help each other. Then you can help us. But if there's no you, then there's no us. Thank you.
Thank you, James Scott, speaking to us from San Quentin Prison in San Quentin, California.
New York has now taken steps to release some prisoners. In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio announced this morning that he will release 1,000 prisoners charged with nonviolent offenses in order to relieve prison overcrowding. Senator Cory Booker has introduced a bill in Congress that would allow tens of thousands of people currently in federal prisons and jails to be released during the pandemic.